We continue today our series, Challenging Jesus, where we're looking at stories where Jesus gets challenged, and then we consider how he is challenging us right back. And so we're in the 20th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, and we'll start in the 20th verse. Here's what it says. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked a favor of him. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Declare that these two sons of mine will sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" And they said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left, this is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard it, they were angry with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It will not be so among you. But whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I don't know about you, but I sometimes get confused about how and if we're supposed to ask Jesus for things. On the one hand, you get a passage like from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you." I like that. That sounds really good for me. Ask and you'll get it. I'm hungry and thirsty. Boom, here's lunch. Wouldn't that be nice? Hey, I need some spending money. Boom, there's money in my bank account. I don't like that person. Boom, they get smited. It sounds great to me, right? I like that version, but that's not what happens in the story that we hear today. The mother of the sons of Zebedee, so the mother of James and John, goes up to Jesus, and she asks Jesus for a favor. She's knocking. She's seeking. She's asking. "Hey, can my son sit at your right and your left in your kingdom?" Request denied. It's not granted. The door is slammed shut. She may be seeking, but she is still lost. James and John follow it up. When Jesus says, "Are you able?" They say, "Yes, we're able. We can do this." He says, "No, you can't. Come on, let's get this straight." And then the other disciples, they start to get mad, and they say, "Hey, what are they doing trying to jockey for position? This isn't right, Jesus." And Jesus has to sit them all down and get the story straight. It's confusing. Are we supposed to knock and ask and seek, or are we not? Now, in that passage where Jesus encourages us to ask and knock and seek, he goes on, after giving that kind of opening word, he goes on and gives a little more detail, saying, "Hey, which of you, if your kid asked you for bread, would give your kid a stone? Or if your kid were to ask you for a fish, would give your kid a snake? And who among you, if your kid asked for an egg, would give your kid a scorpion?" And, you know, the purpose of that is that he's trying to say that if you ask God for things, God's not going to give you something terrible when you ask for something good. However, it's worth considering the inverse. Who among us, if our kids came to us and asked for a venomous snake, would say, "Here you go"? If any of you would do that, please give me your number, and I'll be glad to pass it on to Child Protective Services. We know better than that, right? We don't give our kids scorpions to play with. We don't give our kids venomous snakes. We don't say, if our kid says, "Hey, I'd like to explore electricity, can I go stick my finger in a socket?" We don't start pulling plugs to clear the way, right? We don't do that. So the inverse holds something important too. If a kid asks for a snake or a scorpion, we are not inclined to give them to them. I've been reading a book recently called Switch. Maybe some of you read it. It's by the Heath brothers, Chip and Dan, and it's basically about sort of how we make decisions and trying to you look at some of the chemistry and biology and background of how we can affect change even within ourselves. And they cite a social psychology experiment. It's really fascinating. So this was done in Germany. They had two people meet in a room that didn't know each other. They were both subjects of the experiment. One person would come in and read a weather report that was handed to them. The other person would just listen to it. So the person would come in, read a report, hey, it's heat index of 106 today, the humidity is super high, and please don't laugh at your pastor when he sweats in the pulpit. And then the other person would just sit there and listen, and they would both leave, and then after this, they were supposed to both rate what they thought the person that read the weather report's IQ was. What's fascinating, so they didn't know each other at all, what's fascinating is that the person who heard the report was 66% more accurate in guessing the IQ of the person that read the report than the person that did. Like, so consider that. The person's reading the report, they are less accurate about guessing their own IQ than someone who only heard them read the report. It turns out that we are not exactly experts about ourselves. Our self-knowledge is not great. Now, we see that all the time around us. Haven't you all like had someone come up to you and say, oh, I'd love to introduce you to my new boyfriend. I'm so excited. We go so well together. And you're like, great. That's not going to work. Or someone says, hey, I applied for this job. I think I'm going to be a great fit. And you're like, good for you. And in your mind, you're like, yeah, that's not going to happen. You'd be terrible at that. We see that all the time in people around us. The thing is that we sometimes don't realize just how bad we are at it. We too often get bread and stones confused. We think we're asking for bread, but we're really asking for stone. We think we're asking for a fish, but we're really asking for a snake. We think we're asking for an egg, but we're really asking for a scorpion. We don't know ourselves well, and often we ask for something that's actually to our harm. Now, not only do we not know about ourselves, though, we also have such a limited perspective on the world around us. I love to consider kind of the astronomical scale of things and try to make things come into like a, you know, a way that we can really take a bite-sized chunk of it and understand it. So I was thinking the other day about how many planets there are in the universe. And I thought, well, I bet we can make this scalable. If you took every single human being that's ever existed and you gave them an equal share of all the planets, okay? So if every single person that's ever existed since the beginning of time got their share of the planets, how long would it take us to count? You know, if Nelly were to get her share of the planets, do you know how old she would be if she counted one per second? You know, Earth, Mercury, Venus, Mars, one per second, she would be 85 million years old before she could count her share of the planets. The scope of the universe is so huge. And yet so often we think we know exactly what's needed in exactly the right moment. From our tiny little perspective here in Cary, North Carolina, that's on one continent, on one planet in the midst of trillions. We don't see ourselves that well, and our perspective of the universe around us is incredibly limited. Paul says it rightly when he says in 1 Corinthians 13, now I see through a glass darkly. Our perspective is so limited. And yet, we walk up to Jesus and we say, I have a favor to ask. I have a favor to ask. What's so interesting is that Jesus doesn't respond with indignation. He absolutely could have. When the mother comes and then James and John respond, he could have said, how dare you? How dare you ask me for a favor? I'm the one that tells everyone how it is. And when the disciples started to grumble, he could have just sent them away and said, quit grumbling and listen to me. I will tell you exactly how it is. No questions asked. That's not what he does. Instead of rejecting their questions, he just gently redirects them. He helps them instead of responding to them and, with a harsh no. He gives them instead an invitation. Jesus gives them an invitation. hey, he says, you know the rulers around us, you know the way of the world, how it's all about power and greatness is all about being over people. Well, it's not so among you. That's not how it is. And then he says, look, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Not to be served, but to serve. Think about it. The only one that really has any sense of who we are, really gets us. The only one that can possibly keep up with the trillions of stars and planets in our universe, the only one calls on us to set ourselves aside and to follow him. To set aside our own desire, to set aside our need to control, to set aside our presumption and follow him in service. One of the ways when parents want to cop out of trying to explain to their kids what they want them to do, one of the ways that we cop out is we just say, it'll build character. Hey, can you take the trash out? Why? It'll build character. Can you go talk to those adults? Why? It'll build character. It's a cliche, really. And yet underneath the cliche is something important. It's really kind of one of the core practices of what we do as church. Our life together as church is about building character. Our life together as servants, as we seek to put ourselves behind and others ahead, is about building character. And really the character that we're seeking to build is the character that reflects the character of Jesus Christ himself. Over time, as we serve, over time, as we follow him, over time, as we put ourselves behind and allow him to shape us, we find that we start to ask for different things. Instead of jockeying for position, instead of seeking our own way, when we follow the only one that sees things as they are, we're shaped by him. And instead of seeking out stones and snakes and scorpions, we have our very desire shaped by him. Jesus' challenge to us is not that we stop asking and seeking and knocking. The challenge, the real challenge, is by submitting ourselves to him, allowing ourselves to be shaped by him, that we might learn the difference between bread and stone, between a snake and a fish, between a scorpion and an egg. So keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking for favors. But as you do so, follow Jesus. And serve with him and serve him. And see over time if what you ask for doesn't change. Amen.